Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Things stoked up. Purton says, come on, boy. Show the Aussies what you've got. Kaying Rising moved up to overpass. Clear from Jimmy Starr, but Kaying Rising, champions do what others can't. He's the world's best sprinter, no doubt.
I'm thunderstruck, needing to get there. Alligator blood tiring. I'm thunderstruck over the top, rumbling hard, and got up. I'm thunderstruck, I reckon it's just beaten Alligator blood into beauty. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator blood, I'm thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. I'm thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from I'm thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings will dream at the 100. It's getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat it.
G'day punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. We don't slow down here. We are speeding up as we go into the Perth Carnival. Day two of the Pinnacles, the Railway Stakes, WA's most time-honoured Group 1 handicap. It is definitely their biggest race, 1,600 metres. It's going to be an absolute cracker. And we've got Lachie Taylor joining us in about half an hour to go through that. At Cranbourne, we've also got the Cranbourne Cup and the Million Dollar Meteorite, the slot race. And at Kembla Grange, Nico has just told me we could get some rain for the Gong and the Warra. So that's going to be interesting. Fellas, how are we doing? Will Alford and Nick McGualter join me as always.
I thought it was day one of the Pinnacles. Excuse my ignorance, because I'm not joking. I thought, what was last week?
You live in a bubble.
I know. I do. I heard someone say it was day one.
Are you joking with the grin?
Oh, wait, what did he win?
Oh my
was
God.
It the winner? That wasn't a winner bomb, was it?
It wasn't a Group 1 week, but it was still week one of the Pinnacles.
Oh, I thought this
it's
was
a 5-week carnival. Botta, just stick West to is Victoria. Best. I was going through our group chat from only 1 year ago. 1 year ago. Oh. And I saw messages from Will Alford. Who is this Kaying Rising? Twitter wants to tell me he's the best sprinter in the world. Hey, Will, do you know who Kaying Rising is now?
No, he still doesn't.
It's tatted on Nico's leg.
Oath. Man, Stuba. Connected forever.
So, fellas, I'm awarding myself the dumb See You Next Tuesday of the year, because last week I did the whole podcast on my phone and with my AirPods, because I thought my beautiful Yeti USB microphone wasn't working. And what I didn't realize is that I had the F8 button on, the little mute button on my microphone, turned on the whole time.
Unbelievable.
So that delayed us about 25 minutes, and then I did the podcast all on my phone. My sound audio was horrendous quality.
And here I was
almost contemplating getting a whole new laptop on Wednesday. I had a day off. I'm like, I'm just going to get a new laptop. My microphone isn't working. I was trying my HDMI cable to watch a movie the other day with Liv, and that wasn't working either. Turns out laptop's not the problem, I'm the problem. So you just can give it to me for that.
And you're gonna buy a whole new laptop.
Oh,
but
mate,
not check before.
I'm like, oh, luckily it's been a pretty good spring. I can actually go out and buy a laptop. It was gonna set me back a couple of grand at least.
Don't even start the poor me card.
I'm not.
You've only won enough to buy a house. You could have bought two houses.
Hey, 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 hey. Not quite. If Sir Delius had won a Melbourne Cup, that would have been house worthy. But
then, well, we'll finally move out.
We were getting an island with Jules, and now he's just going on his own. Like, stuff us.
Yeah. No, living at home's good. I don't care what anyone says. I'd rather be rich and live at home than pay bills.
I don't care what anyone says in general, regardless of being at home or not.
Oh, we know that. We've seen you.
Didn't I just
spit the dummy on Twitter all week?
Oh, fair dinkum.
Wanting to throw fights with this person, him and the other. Pull your head in, Nico.
Oh, get stuffed. I was just doing what I had to do. They took the opportunity to come out for me and fuck them.
Fair enough.
That's the audacity of the chirp on some of these blokes. Like, fair dinkum.
Yeah.
Golden Paddy, yep. Shout out to you, Squib.
You haven't even sent me your races for tonight. What are you tipping in? Make sure you send me that now in our little group chat, because pre-production meeting, it just didn't happen this week.
Pre-production meeting.
I'll let you in on a little secret. A pre-production meeting has never happened on this podcast, but we like to refer to it.
It has, once or twice.
Maybe once, not twice. Botta, what's doing with this Cranbourne track? 22 degrees, 0 to 4 millimetres of rain on Saturday. Notoriously, this is a track where you want to be up and in, and the rail's out 3 metres.
Yeah, Cranbourne we're racing at, so... I think you'll be wanting to be up on speed and, like, for example, we'll talk about it later, but the Cranbourne Cup, the favourites drawn the car park, and it's got its work stuck out for it, I think. So, yeah, I'll be looking to play horses that are up on speed and won't have to make too much ground.
Is the meteorite going to strike Cranbourne this year and set the whole joint on fire?
It literally happened last year.
I know. Did that happen? Did someone set the track alight? Like, or was that like just an accident?
Well it was such a hot day. It was bushfire. Yeah, Nadal set it alight, but it was genuine bushfire weather. There was two different fires that went off. One of them was in the bushes, the shrubs at Trios, which is just the pub that overlooks the course.
It's about the 100 meter mark.
I don't know if they ever found out what happened, but surely someone just flicked their cigarette in the bush and then it just went boom. I reckon that's probably what happened.
Yeah, you'd say so.
Unless, grass fires can just happen, but who knows? I don't know. But Blogsy's back. What do we think of that?
He'll put the fire out with his bare hands.
He'll start the fire and put it out and back the winner of both the cup and the meteorite.
He's actually never going home.
I don't give a shit what people say. There's so much tall poppy syndrome in Australia and people say, flogging a dead horse, this, that, and the rest. But dead set. Blogsy's done heaps to promote our carnival this spring. And
100%.
If he wants to come to Cranbourne, let him come to Cranbourne.
Well, I think it was always going to come because, he went over to New Zealand, I think, on the back of Entain because they...
They own the tab over there.
Yeah, they own the tab over there. And then, obviously, the main sponsor of Southside Racing. So I think it was always going to happen. So
any extra eyes on our sport can only be a benefit.
100%.
And the people that are sooking are irrelevant, trying to be relevant, and it's not going to work.
Yeah. Dinosaur journalists.
At you, Matt Stewart.
And what was the other thing I was going to say? Anyway, it doesn't matter. We'll move on from that, but... Blogsy is a good thing. This will probably be his last little shindig in Australia and he'll come back next spring carnival.
To the bull.
Botta, let's get into this card. You're starting in race two, but I want to get your thoughts in race one. It's a 1,300 meter benchmark 70. Prince Tycoon has been the one that they've backed into favoritism, 550 into 290. But Medea is a mare that you rate highly. It's a horse that you've backed a few times. Is this getting out to more of a backable price now, 330?
I think it's probably about its right price. I'm not interested in backing. I think it's a tricky race because, the Hayes boys have Medea and Stealth of Night, and they put the apprentice on Medea, and that sort of signals to me there's not a whole lot of intent. Drawn Six to probably go back. Stealth of Night's first up too. And then you've got Prince Tycoon, who was pretty plain first up at Moonee Valley, but I think it can quickly improve and it gets a soft, like it gets a lead here, which would be better. Oh, maybe not the lead, but it'll put itself in the like a prominent position up on the speed, and I think that's a massive part of why it's been sevens into it's 2-1 now. So, I think the race is just too tricky for me personally. Just with the two resumers, I'd rather see how they resume. But I do think Medea is probably going to be a really, really nice, probably like I wouldn't be surprised if we're seeing like an Empire Rose maybe next year or some sort of race like that. But I know I say that I'm talking about it in a benchmark 70, but it's just I don't really want to be taking. If it wins, it wins. But
yep,
it's not really a race I want to be on.
Anyway. Race 2, 1,400-meter, 3-year-old handicap, Mongolian Gobi or Gobi or boy. $3.90 from Katsumi, Orochi $5, St. Edward $5, Cafetera $5, and Maldini $5. So four horses at $5 and five under that sort of 4-1 bracket. Bot, who do you like?
I think how you say Cafetera was good on debut behind Quick As, and then it was 5 weeks between runs, had a nice jump out between, and was quite good at Mornington in a really slowly run race, and I think it puts itself in a great position here. Craig Williams is probably the best jockey at the meeting, and probably alongside Ethan Brown, and I think it's more like a $4 chance.
Yep. Well, we go from Gobbies to Big Sexy, race 5. It's class 3, 1,500 metres. Big Sexy, $2.50 in favourite. I believe this is the race that Jimmy Starr won maybe 2 years ago on Cranbourne Cup Day, sat three wide and absolutely bolted in. Astral Flame, $4.60. Chest of Gold, $6. Yes, I know, $6.50. And Aislam, $11. Surely you're seeing green with the favourite here.
Well, initially I sort of wanted to be on Big Sexy. I thought it was really good and the market loved it at Flemington. And it was three wide there and everything sort of working. But I just can't. Like, just from a ratings profile and the way it's going to map and everything. Sorry, I'm in the wrong race. Astral Flame is the... Oh, it's been 550 and 460 today. 550 was too big, but I think sort of like a $4 chance. And, like, it's so easy to forgive that run at Pakenham. Like, they've been putting up, like, official track going is like a... 6 at Pakenham last couple meetings. It's a bit more like a 10. So like that ground is like it raced on last time is absolutely awful, and it didn't handle it at all. It was beaten 20 lengths. You can't take anything out of that. It was, the SP profile, like the market expectation, had it going to a level that would be competitive in this, and it's run to like I think getting out to 1500 meters is a massive positive, and the things it was able to do. In its first preparation in the future Stars Series final, and even against Hughes, who's done some good things. I think one of the Peninsula Cup a couple of weeks ago. That's a nice horse. I just think it's pretty backable. It was backable at 550, probably still is now at 460. And Big Sexy's is probably like a 290 chance. 250 is probably erring on the side of a little bit too short. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets a little bit of a drift. Casino Showgirl's been a big drifter since the market opened. Won really well under a massive hold. I'm a little bit excited to see what it does, but it just has to make up a whole lot of, it's not quite at the level of some of the like Big Sexy and Astral Flame. So Astral Flame's probably the bet for me in that race.
So full transparency, have you taken a price Astral Flame yet?
No, not yet, but I should take a 550.
Okay. Race 6 is a benchmark 84 over the 2025. Chocolates $2.90 from Howlin' Rain on the backup after a really strong win in the Maui Cup last week, 550. Harry Curry's also 550. Amberite, 950. And Texas T, 950. Look, you don't have an official bet in this, but I did want to get your opinion on both Chocolates and Howlin' Rain, who backs up. What did you make of Chocolates last start? She was a little bit... like didn't get the right run, but was she still a little bit disappointing?
Yeah, it was backed for plenty.
I know.
It was, yeah. No, it sort of got, like it wasn't.
All three of us.
I didn't back it.
Oaksday was my only strip out for the carnival, and this was part of the reason.
Yeah. Look, I think like it just wasn't Harry Coffey's greatest of rides. It was sort of three, four back the rail and
horrible steer.
Probably didn't appreciate being in between horses, but at the same time, it was pretty average in the last sort of furlong.
But
you know, if
the
it runs
damage
that,
was done
runs
well little, before then.
Yeah, but it still could have done something through the line. I would have loved to see that. But, you know, horses like this can quickly improve, especially over these sort of staying distances. They can quickly improve, and like what it did at Flemington when it won those three-year-old races, if it runs to that sort of level of form, it'd probably win this. Alan Rainall was really good at Mowi last time, but I find Mowi a really difficult track to line up. Just some of the results that come out of there weird, like you get really big margin winners there sometimes, and I think just the way the track, like the sort of grass they have. Do you know anything about that, Ben? Like the grass they use at Mowi? I don't know. It's
not really. I know that some of the people that come out of there are pretty weird as well. That's what I do know about Mowi.
No, the
OG Street Mowi's talk, like, bring it back.
Mowi's the worst draining track ever, just about in Victoria. I didn't really have much of it. I thought like,
all right, let's move on.
If you're going to try and find a bet in the race, Shockers would be the one, but I couldn't back it at the price.
Okay, race 7, benchmark 80, 1,200 metres, Stolly Bolly. They're going to send her around favourite again, aren't they? Jesus. Third, second, third, all in one preparation. If you've backed this horse all preparation, you're probably not even listening to this podcast because you've got no money left. $4 from My Temptation, $4.60. Sweethearted, $6. Yaldi, $8.50. Jasmine Rouge is $9.50. And Naval Academy, who did beat Stolly Bolly, is $10. Oh, Botta, what do we do here? Stolly Bolly, the ratings are good, but surely not.
Yeah, Stolly Bolly's the one here. No. Oh. No, I'm going to back Yaldi. I think like 1100 first up, it was too far back and ran home really, really strongly. And then it sort of second up at Flemington, I think it was the last race of the carnival, on the really heavy track. It sort of raced into it and just sort of petered out on its run. And I think third up after 1200 metres, it's going to be well suited. And like it's got some big performance ratings behind, like Zurain and Harry's Yacht there at Caulfield, and I think it's a pretty nice horse, and I think 850 is way too big, to be honest.
Yep, I can see the vision there. If you are backing Stolly Bolly, this is your song for the weekend. That's your song for the week. We move on to the Cranbourne Cup, listed
so bad.
1,600 metres, handicap conditions, and Sabage. This looks he looks at least a Group 2 horse in the making. $3.30, gets him with 54 kilos, but draws barrier 15. They have drawn barrier 4 at Kilmore on Sunday, so whether they wait for that, I'm not sure. This would have been their number one preference, though. $3.30 from Air Assault, $5.50. Warney, $7, a really nice last start winner to get over the top of a good one in Zoo Sensation in the same colours. Enzudo, $10. Statuario, $13. And Stepardi, $15. It's been a while since old Step has won. Who do you like here, Bob?
Yeah. I think Sabage is pretty easy to take on at the price. You know, it got a really nice pace scenario at Flemington. They went really hard in testing conditions. And, you know, like it didn't break benchmark the last 400 metres, and like none of them did, but like it sort of just had to, I don't know, like it was a good win, and at weights and measures here, the performance rating absolutely measures up, and you know, I do agree it should be favourite, but just where it's going to get, like coming from behind in a race run like that at Flemington is so much easier than what it is at Cranbourne. If he's giving them 10 lengths at the 800 meter mark around Cranbourne, good luck. You know, it's a completely different setup, but at the same time, like, he's highly touted and he might be just better than them, but I mean, if he wins, it's going to have to be a very, very good performance, and you couldn't pay me to take $3.30. I thought Air Assault blew up the clock at Morphettville in the John Letts Cup and follows the exact same preparation it did last year to run second to Globe in this race. And obviously that's looking pretty attractive on the form card. Obviously Globe's won the Martin Power. So I think it's a $5 chance and probably marginally too big. I think best price is $5.60 with Boombet. And Stepardi is another one who's a little bit interesting to me. Like, you just like no chance in the Champions Mile. I don't know why they even went there on the heavy track. Got beaten 20 lengths, but that's fine. It was finished quickest in the Damien Oliver. They took it back from a wide barrier. And, you know, and like, Ingsudo's $10 here. And I think I was on the quick backup on, was it Thursday? The Thursday. And, you know, I think it might have run its peak for the preparation. Like Stepardi is a horse that's run third in the Rupert Clark earlier this year. He's second in the Ingham. Like in these big races, he's raced against some good quality opposition and stood up to it. He hasn't won in a while, but you know, this is a winnable race if he's come through the Champions Mile pretty well. And and another one, Warnie as well. Like he broke through, I think it's about almost 400 days since he won last start. And he went to it was pretty much the best he's ever gone. But I think he'd need to improve again to win this. And I just don't quite see it happening. So, you know, I think he's assured to run well, but, you know, you want to back the winner. So I think it's more like 10-1 chance.
So in summary, what are your bets in this race?
Aerosol? Well, I'm not backing anything now, but like on the day, if Aerosol's sort of $6 on Betfair, I'll have a go at it. Bank Moore's one's a little bit interesting. He goes really, really well fresh. Like his best runs are always fresh and he just drops off. So maybe he's one to look out for. What else did I sort of... Oh, Holy Man's also comes through the Damien Oliver behind Exudo. Warnie and Stepardi was sort of held up half the straight and only got out last 200 metres. And he has some ratings that sort of put him in the picture here. Gets a relatively soft map, you'd have thought. So take it on the favorite. So probably back a couple ones. But out of the probably my the best two ways in the race probably be Stepardi and Aerosol.
All right, so about $5.50 and $15, the top prices amongst the corps right now. Race 9 is the Meteorite, 1200 meters, no black type status as yet, but it is $1 million slot race. Hedged has been sensationally backed into $4.80. Opened $14 with Ladbroke, so that there are some happy punters on at the overs there. Zoo Sensation, $5. Need Some Luck, $6.50. And he might need some luck from Barrier 9. He doesn't have a whole lot of early gate speed. Arkansas Kid, $8. Jigsaw, $9. I don't know how he was $10 today. The horse is flying. Nadal, he looked like a Group 1 operator when he won this race last year, $10. Maybe he just needed a dry track. After weeks of looking for a wet track, maybe. He just needed a firm surface, which is what he gets here. Watch Me Win is $13. This is the only race I've played into at Cranbourne so far this week. And I do have a fair bit of clarity here. I think we want to back map horses, and I'm going to back two of those. Jigsaw Drawn Barrier 11. This is the only natural leader in this race. And Cindy Alderson has this horse back flying. His win at Cranbourne to shake off Hedged in the Apache Cat was good. And then he backed it up on Cox Plate Day. He got us the win at 26-1. It was a sensational performance. He rocketed straight to the front. The rating is good. I think he finds the front here quite easily because, as I said, there just isn't a whole lot of speed around him. And I think he's more a $6.50 chance. Even $6, I could get him as short as. He's just going to skip straight to the front. On what could be a good three, good four track, he's going to be mighty hard to run down. Not too worried about the 59 kilos. And the other horse you match sensationally is Zoo Sensation. Back to 1,200 meters here, but he's just so consistent. I know it has been a long preparation, but his last three ratings are almost bang on the exact same. He's going really well. He did beat a very talented horse named King Zephyr after going a good tempo throughout two back. And then Warnie just got him last time, but there was no harm in that performance. It was still a really good effort. I think he probably maps for the 1-1 in Barrier 5. Just let Jigsaw come across and sit right behind him. And yeah, like Hedge is thereabouts again. I'm a little bit worried about him backing up from a really fast run race. It's the first time that he'll try and do something like that, but I can understand the money, but I'm just a little bit sick of him. He has been a while between drinks now, nearly 520 days. So I'm keen Zoo Sensation and Jigsaw. Look, need some luck, Arkansas Kid, Nadal. They're all great chances, but they probably map to be midfield or worse from Barry's 8, 9, and 13. And that's why I'm sticking with the high percentage plays. Botter?
This race is a head fuck, and I didn't want much to do with it. I think Hedge probably should be favourite. I think like punters look at last start and think, you know, it was sort of half disappointing. But I think last start was unlucky. He was unlucky, sure, but I think it was more about being here on the quick backup. I think that's what the whole thing was about. And I think that he might get back to his peak, and I think he probably should be favourite. I didn't know they put up $14. That is ridiculous.
That was ridiculous.
I don't disagree with you, Ben. I think, obviously, Jigsaw beat Hedge at this track, so there's something there. Obviously, one since Mooney Valley. I don't know. I don't really like the race at all. My thoughts.
All right. So that's Cranbourne wrapped up. We'll go over to Kembla Grange now. Nico, you've done the weather stats. A little birdie has told you we could get a fair old deluge.
Yeah, well, that's...
Did I have one in the last? Did I put it down?
Yeah. Just quickly go for your last one. Sorry, mate. Race 10, Cranbourne.
Yeah, I don't love...
Hello, boys.
Hello, mates. Hello. What's going on?
How are we?
We're good. We're good. You've joined at a perfect time. We've got one race that we're looking at Kembla, and then we'll get stuck in.
Cool. I'll tune in and I'll have a bet.
Done. Botter, what's your race 10 tip?
Yeah, I'll just be Ancelli. We'll move on.
All right. Nico, back to a weather report in New South Wales.
It's not looking good. It could be cast by the time it gets to the certainty of the day, which would be a real shame. Yeah, we know that he handles soft ground, but heavy ground is not okay. We saw that first up when he was against Via Sistina and co. Looked like he was going to bolt up and just went nowhere. And obviously last start was on a soft 6 or a soft 7, and he handled that fine. So definitely weather watch. It would be very sickening to get beat by the weather. But, yeah, just going to play it by ear.
So that's Gringotts you speak of. We'll quickly bring up the race now, give it the love it deserves. It's a Group 3, the Gong, 1,600 metres. Gringotts is $2.20 favourite. Estadio Mestella, $7. Tabby Time, $7.50. Amor Victorious, $10. New Endeavour, 21s. And Ducasse, 21s. It does look his race. I know he's got the weight, but he won with 62 kilos on Cup Day. Draws well in Barrier 7. I think Nashville is just a perfect rider for him. He rode him an absolute treat last time. But as you mentioned, Nico, like, what surface are you backing him up to? A 7?
Yeah, I'd say it's a 6-7. But you just got to sort of monitor it. Like, you know, every track is different.
Don't do it.
What? Well, in between a 6 and a 7, you just got to sort of monitor what's happening.
Make it stop.
We'll make it a 7.
I sort of looked at Ben as soon as he said it.
It's not stupid. Like, rain on race day is a completely different kettle of fish.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think $2.20 is probably a bet, but if we get 20 mils on Saturday, then it's danger signs. I just want to point out one that's overs, and that's number 14 right down the bottom, Amor Victorious. Gets in on 53 kilos, draws barrier 1. Rachel King is just a pro at rating them out in front. This horse is 3 out of 4 at the mile. Soft track form is elite. 7 starts, 4 wins, and a second placing. Hasn't seen the heavy yet, but just absolutely forgive it last time. It went around in the Russell Boulding behind Jimmy Starr, 200-1. They probably just bit off more than they could chew there, but this horse is going to go straight to the front. And if the rain really does come and you're a little bit worried about Gringotts, I think Amore Victorious is your map horse in the Gong.
Well, Bjorn was on with Gareth today, and he sort of couldn't split it in sandpaper.
Really? What price is it? Sandpaper is $34.
Like, he's got good form last prep behind Yorkshire. So you could definitely make a case.
I feel like that's so common, though. When a trainer comes on and they've got two horses in a race, they're like, oh, we can't really split them. Well, they're just galloping, doing evens next to each other. So,
yeah, but Bjorn, he sort of doesn't piss in your pocket. He's pretty straightforward. Yeah,
true. Mr. Forklift.
Worth noting. Anyway.
Who's banging the Gong this year? Do we know that?
Me.
We might have to fly Nico up there to do it.
Yeah, well, they are inquired, but the deal would get done, unfortunately.
Move over, West. UFC superstars. Nico's coming to bang the Gong. Lockie, we'll introduce you now, mate. One of WA's finest. I cannot believe that this man is 26 years old, the exact same age as me, born 91. He gave me his email, and it was Lockie Taylor. Anyway, I won't read out your email for privacy's sake. But, mate, I think I've been tuning into WA racing for probably 6-7 years, and you've been doing good things for as long as I can remember, so thanks heaps for coming on.
No worries, boys, thanks for having me. Before we start, I just wanted to address Nico personally and make sure that there's no bad blood between him and I, because all I've seen on my Twitter all week is Nico fighting people. And I'm a lover, not a fighter, right? So I actually haven't met either of you in the flesh, but if we ever meet in person, you'll learn that I'm not a big bloke. So I'm a lover, not a fighter. And Nick, I just want to make sure that we're all okay.
I've got a bad active rap already. Twitter, what an app.
You're bringing it upon yourself, mate. Let's be
I did nothing wrong.
So I thought that was a nice place to start.
That is a good place to start.
You and Matt will get along like a house on fire. Because he's Switzerland as well.
What does Stu call me? Switzerland or something?
Yeah. That's exactly what you are.
There's no war in Switzerland, I'll tell you that. Lockie, a quick background on yourself, mate. How long you have been working in the media. Obviously, the Kersleys are one of the most famous racing families in WA, but I reckon you're right up there.
Yeah, we're probably running third, I reckon, behind the Kersleys and the Parnhams. So we're definitely not top two, the Taylor family, but I think I've worked in media since I was about 19, so probably 7 years now. And it started in radio and then just developed into TV, and then the last 2 years I've been hosting the Metro races here in Perth with Scotty. So Scott Embry is one of my best mates. So, it's been a lot of fun. We all are very passionate about WA racing. We absolutely love it, and we hope that comes across in our coverages, and we have a lot of fun doing it.
And they tell me, this is just the whispers I hear from over in the West, Playing God is one of the number one stallions over there, but they tell me that you're creeping up the list very rapidly.
Well, I've been on a one-band roster for a while now, so not like she'll ever listen to this podcast, so I could actually say whatever I like. But
Ben is no different, don't worry.
Well, I did actually have the pleasure of meeting Liv, the poor girl was sent across by racing.com and had to cover a Pinjarra Park meeting in the middle of winter. So, Liv and I have actually worked together.
Yeah, that's cool. Let's go to this Saturday racing, Railway Stakes Day. Just before we get into the nitty-gritty, talk us through what your week looks like and obviously a little bit of background about the Railway Stakes, because we know it is the most time-honoured race that Western Australia has.
Well, spot on. I think you've nailed it there. It's the race that from a racing family, like, the Railway is the race that trainers and jockeys that grow up in WA aspire to win. Obviously, you have the Perth Cup as well and the new introduction of the Quokka, which everyone now wants to win, but for the most part, the Railway has been the traditional race that everyone really wants to win. So it's a really exciting week. Barrier draw on Tuesday afternoon was obviously very important for a number of winning chances, and I think it played out really nicely for horses we'll touch upon shortly. But in terms of my week itself, it's been pretty low key. I play golf today and then I go to the cricket tomorrow and then we roll into Saturday afternoon. So it's actually a great week to be here in Perth. You blokes should be here.
What a life. Nico should give you a game of golf once you come back down, because Nico, you're pretty handy at the caper.
Oh, well, yes. When I want to try. When I don't lose my head.
What's the lowest handicap that you ever got to, Nico?
Scratch.
Scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got me covered then.
Golf's no good when you get down that low, Lockie. Trust me, because you play with blokes that think you're a superstar when you're not, and it's just no fun. Because you just got to practice all the time. If you're not practicing, you don't play well. It's just a revolving circle of disappointment.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
It's much better being off like 12, 15, 18, getting a shot a hole, having a dozen beers and having a good time.
Yeah, 100%. So this week, mate, rail plus 5 metres. I log on to Racing Australia and I do notice that it's a soft 5 at the moment. Is that just a counter for the warm weather over there?
Yeah, 100%. Essentially, Thursday, Friday, if you log on to Racing Australia or Racing WA, between now and the rest of the summer, it will always say a soft 5. So you can expect a good 4 come race number 1 on Saturday.
How much irrigation do you think they're actually pumping into the track? Is it, you know, 20 mils before like a race day, like in the lead up, or what would it be?
I'm honestly not sure. We could go back and have a look at what they eventually put in last Saturday. I think that would be a good guide, but it's getting warmer and warmer. It was pretty warm today. Early this week, it was nice and warm. So as I get this up, last week they put on 81 mil of irrigation for the 7 days leading up to Saturday.
Wow.
And 4 mil the last 24 hours from Friday to Saturday. So, yeah, it's getting nice and warm here at the moment.
Holy shit. I thought I was going overs with saying 20 in like, you know.
Well, when we play that game of golf, it's not going to be in WA. I don't like the heat playing.
We'll make sure we get a cut.
Yeah, done.
What's a good place to start, mate? Maybe race 6?
Yeah, happy to start wherever you like, boys.
All right, we'll start in race 6, the Carbine Club of WA Stakes, listed 1,400 metres. Cosmic Crusader, gee, it's been an unlucky prep the last couple of runs. $1.85 is the top price. Fourth Emergency in the Railway, but very unlikely to get a start, comes here. Jaws Barrier 9, Asphalt was a really good last start winner. Well, not just last start, he's just been a winning machine, $4.80. Aztec Ruler has some decent ratings on the board, $6. Younger Lass, $7. And then you're way out to Zip Away, $23 and longer the rest. So you might be looking for a little bit further. What was your summary of this race, Lockie?
Well, I'll throw it back to you, boys. What have you thought of Cosmic Crusader and his last two runs? Have you been with him? And what have you made of how he's performed since that slight freshen up between winter and summer?
An absolute pain in my neck is what he's doing.
Well, I think when he started going to the front, he really went to another level sort of in September. And, you know, that Belmont win, he probably didn't beat up on a whole lot. And the margin, you know, the rating was there. The margin was awesome. Was he a little bit overrated off that coming into recent races? Potentially. But I don't think things have worked out for him at all the last two runs. I mean, two back, he was sort of caught off the track and leading. You had Love and War kick up inside him. And then last time, just didn't really get a crack. I know he did get out late, but I don't think that's his sort of setup.
100%. I couldn't agree more. To me, and you guys would be better versed at commenting on this, but for me, he's like WA's Chow Wolf. Like, I feel like he needs really genuine tempo. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Chow Wolf, he doesn't produce his best as soon as it's a slow run race. Yes?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah,
so I just feel like he's been completely unsuited his last two starts. And obviously, plenty's been said about what happened in the Asian Bowl two starts ago. Completely unsuited, and Clint clearly erred in not just allowing him to stride to the front. And then last start, I actually don't think he could have done a lot.
Mm, he stepped slowly, didn't he?
Yeah, he was basically crossed by the two Neville Parnham horses straight away. So from there, he was always going to be in a tricky spot. But once again, they went slow. And in terms of this race and the way I profile it, I feel like Bruce Almighty strolls to the front and they'll go slow again. So unless Clint is the one that pushes the button early, it's going to be a slow run race. It's going to be a sit and sprint. So for me, I think he's a risk at the price. And a horse like Aztec Ruler that has a turn of foot, reunites with Chris Parnham, I don't know if his value at $5.50 at the moment, but he was as much as $7, $8 earlier on this morning and yesterday afternoon. I think that's probably the way I'd play the race each way, or maybe one by three Aztec Ruler, because Cosmic Crusader, he just continues to go around as your short price favourite, and I just don't know if he'll get the setup that he wants.
Yeah, Nico, I think you sort of agree with that. Look, yeah, $1.85, it's not really a price I want to take. I think CJP probably has to go handlebars down and try and find the front for them to be winning this race, but back in trip, I don't think he's ideal either. I think he's a genuine miler who just wants to run them into the ground. So I sort of agree. I looked at, there's $6 available out there for Aztec Ruler. I didn't think that was a bad price. Nico, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I want to be against Cosmic Crusader. I want to be with Asphalt and Aztec. Sorry, I want to be with Aztec Ruler and Asphalt against Cosmic Crusader. I've had enough of him. Back in trips, not ideal. There's every chance he doesn't get the right sort of, you know, race run to suit again, and I've had enough. So, Asphalt, I hope he goes around. Lockie, there was a bit of a whisper that they might scratch in case they ruin his rating. Is that sort of true? If he was to win this race, it could ruin his rating for races that they've got in mind down the track?
Yes and no. With horses like Aztec Ruler and Zipaway in as 99 and 101s, there is a risk, but they would have known that before they accepted. So for me, now that he's accepted, I think he'll be going around.
I hope so. He'll just roll straight to the front, thereabouts, and I think he'll just be tough like he has the last couple of starts. You know, he's winners win, losers find excuses. I'm over Cosmic Crusader. He can have another excuse. He'll have bad luck or this or that. I'm done with him. So Asphalt and, yeah, I'll have a saver on Aztec Ruler. I think that might have been Terry because he was quite keen on Aztec Ruler. I think he was 2 from 2 on the backup from 7 days. Good 1,400-metre horse. Yeah, so they're the two that I want to be with. I think it's a really, really thin race. I think there's only sort of two winning chances if you pen Cosmic Crusader. And you're going to get sort of $4.50 and $6. So, yeah, more than happy to have a two-bet play and go from there.
All right, race 7, 2,100 metres, listed event. How do you say, is this the Scarhill Cup?
Scale Cup.
Yeah. Captain Pluto is our favourite. Top price out there is $2.60 from Opportunistic, $7. Filthy Habits will roll forward, $9. Memory Parade, $9.50. Stormageddon, $10. And Bucket's Ridge, $18. Captain Pluto's got the best turn of foot in this race, I'd say, Lockie. Opportunistics, what has happened to this horse, this preparation?
I honestly don't know. He just really hasn't come up. Even like last start, they took him to York and he got beat in a York Cup, and that wasn't a strong race. Admittedly, it was a strange run race, but all throughout this campaign, he just looks like he wants ground. So this is nearly D-Day for a horse like Opportunistic, and if he doesn't perform, then he simply hasn't come up this preparation and they'll be back to square one, and hopefully he comes back next campaign. But yeah, I agree with you. Captain Pluto, best turn of foot in the race, out to 2,100 suits, drawn out wide, I think is a tick as well. 3 deep flowing into the race with horses like Filthy Habits in Iowa. Setting a good speed, I think Captain Pluto is the one. The one thing I will say about the stays in Perth and this series that you'll continue to follow over the next month or so is that Filthy Habits is such a tough horse. I don't think he'll be ready just yet, second up at 2,100 metres, but he'll continue to go around at that sort of each-way quote. Keep an eye on him. I think he'll win at least one of the Perth Cup lead-ups. He probably doesn't have the class to win a Perth Cup, but I think he's absolutely flying for Brandon and Lucy.
Well, Nico, I think that speaks to you in a big way because you are happy to have something on Filthy Habits here, I believe.
Oh, well, my heart's broken now. Lockie's just ripped it out, stood on it.
He gave it a good rap. Yeah, gave it a good rap.
I don't know if it's ready yet, but I love the horse and he's going well.
Yeah, he's a ripper. Well, I hope he's ready to go on Saturday because I think it's a great race. Second up, tick, low draw, finds the front. Hopefully the race is run sort of a little bit differently out in trip, and I think is a great bet at the price. Captain Pluto sort of got everything to suit last start and won well, but he's a horse that I'm not fully sold on yet, and he's at the price where I think I'm happy to bet around him, and if he beats me, he beats me. I want to be with Filthy Habits as the main bet, and there's another horse in this race that's an enigma but has got the talent to show up and win, and that's number one, Bucket's Ridge. I keep hearing that this horse is a track work superstar and then just gets to race day and doesn't want to participate.
Bit like you.
Well, that would probably be me if I was a racehorse, yeah. You know, this horse has got a good sort of bank of form last preparation to say that if he's anywhere sort of near that form on the weekend, he's going to give this race a very big shake at a price. Yeah. I think it's an easy race to have a couple of specs at a price. And if you get sort of beaten by the fave, well, you just got to cop it sweet, I think.
Yeah. I'm probably going to have something on Captain Pluto. He's probably the right enough price there at $2.60, and I'll have a saver on Filthy Habits. So I agree that they're the two, and opportunistic if this wins, like dead set. You just have to cop it on.
You know what's going to happen, don't you? It and Cosmic Crusader will win because everyone's going to jump off.
Mate, this looked a railway horse, and now it doesn't even look a black type horse at the moment. So if it wins, you cop it sweet.
What a
win. Right, move on to the group two.
I reckon I backed Captain Pluto at Pakenham one day.
Who did he used to be with?
Danny O'Brien.
He was in Victoria once
upon a time. Oh, Danny O'Brien.
Aztec State used to be in Victoria.
Yeah, that makes sense, Danny O'Brien, because that's the Seamus Award colours.
Yeah.
Oh, what's his name? The bloke who owns the auto tune or whatever?
He's the Sean Buckley?
Yeah, might be.
There's him, yeah.
Race 8, WA Guineas, Group 2, 1600 metres. King of Light, he is $1.95. He is unbeaten. Rockfest, $4, produced good sectionals behind him last time. He's a Phoenix, has been as big as $11 into $6. That $11 was just a little bit too big. Led at a fast tempo there. So 1,600 metres, a little bit of a query, but a more controlled gallop is in the game. Booth Leasy is $13. I might have messed up that name. And Medusa, $21. Lockie, quickly, the speed map here. Does He's a Phoenix own the front?
100% he does, and I don't think he rolls along quite as much as he did last start. I think Lucy probably erred in really allowing him to stretch, and for me, conditions are key for He's a Phoenix, and obviously by race 8, we'll have a really good guide on the way the track's playing. But interestingly, yesterday, there was a 30-kilometer southwesterly forecast, which is anti-leaders, essentially. It's cover, swoopers down the middle, but then it's altered slightly this afternoon to 20 kilometre southwesterly. So that's not nearly as severe. So that's a tick for He's a Phoenix. What happens come Saturday? Who knows? You can't exactly trust a forecast these days. But, yeah, he's your leader, and I'm a big fan of him. I think he'll be in front for a long way.
Yep. After Cox Plate Day, some of us boys were all hanging around the bar, and King of Light was about to run his first up race, and Snitzelette had been absolutely smashed to beat him.
Yeah.
And there was still a bit of $5 hanging around in the futures for this race. So we've snapped that up.
Oh.
It's not a bad price, but
that's a great bet.
Tell me good things here. I know Rockfest did close on him last start and, you know, possibly ran even faster sectionals home that last 200 meters, but he's just going to map a treat again from Barry Fall.
100%. He's just a star. He's unbeaten, and I think he can make it 5 from 5. Actually, going into this race before the barrier draw on Monday afternoon, I was hoping that he would draw out, He's a Phoenix would draw in, and Rockfest would draw somewhere in between just to make it a little more interesting. In the end, none of that has occurred. King of Light has drawn perfectly. He's a Phoenix has drawn out, and Rockfest has drawn out. So I just can't see Rockfest coming from a pair or two behind King of Light and running him down. And like Willie's going to know exactly when to time his run to chase down He's a Phoenix. So as boring as it is, like I just think he is a proper horse, and he'll be getting the job done on Saturday.
There's nothing boring about it, mate. We love launching a shorty. Nico, you're keen as well to make it a line of five for this horse.
There's nothing boring about this horse at all. $2 seems an absolute luxury. I'm very excited about this horse and his future. I think his first defeat might be next start. I'm hoping it is anyway, against Western Empire. He's a special horse in the making, I think, King of Light. There's just something about him. I don't know what – I can't really describe it, but,
He's definitely going to have to come over to the east side at some stage, Lockie. Sorry to tell you.
Dan Morton, he loves travelling horses. He's obviously not going to be a quokka horse. He could be as early as the autumn. Honestly, there aren't actually that many suitable races for a horse like him come autumn. If he does happen to win a Guineas and a Northerly or go close in a Northerly, his rating will go through the roof. So you could be seeing this horse on your side of the country very, very soon.
Well,
there's a perfect race for him in the spring.
There's two perfect races for him, the Australian Guineas and the All-Star
Mile.
Who was it? Was it Regal Power? And what was the other Bob Peters horse that ran 1-2?
Regal Power. And,
what was it called?
Ollie got up on it on the inside, didn't he?
Superstorm.
Superstorm
and Regal Power ran 1-2 in the All-Star Mile. Yeah. For what it's worth, King of Light, he's just going to look the winner for a long way here. I've already got the bet on him, but I did think it was a race in three, and I did see the double figures for He's a Phoenix, so I've had a little bet on there as well. King of Light's clearly my best result in the race. He's a Phoenix, I've had a smaller result on. If Rockfest gets over and beats me, too good.
One out wide, keep an eye on. Sometime Lucky, 40-1. I think he can run top 3, 4, 5. Have a look. You might be able to have a little bit of fun. If you're in a hole come Saturday night and you need something at a price, he
just
might back go to
King of Light. Just put it all on.
Hey, it wouldn't be the first time we've been in a hole trying to dig out at WA. Don't worry about that. Race 9.
Gamble responsibly, punters.
Group 1, Railway Stakes, under handicap conditions, over the mile. Watch me rock, $3.80. Well, doesn't this horse profile like a Railway Stakes horse? Gets him with 54 kilos. Barrier 4, $3.80 from Western Empire. Draws inside. Not sure if that's ideal or not. $7. Cosmic Crusaders out, $7.50. Probably comes out. Visitors draw for Ossipenko, $9. Super Smink, $9.50. Diamond Scene has been smashed in betting, $9.50. And Depth of Character, another one with the visitors draw. Drawn 20, but obviously will come in after emergencies come out. Equip map here, Lockie. It's up for grabs a little bit, the front.
Comfort Me leads, and interestingly, when he led last start in the Listeria, they absolutely walked. So I don't think he'll get it quite as cheap. I think a horse like Ginger Baker, if he steps from out wide, he'll roll forward. A mare like Lucy Fury's mount, Admiration Express, she'll roll forward potentially, but I can't see them flying along out in front unless something completely unexpected rolls forward. As you said, the visitors have just drawn terribly. I can't see any of them really pressing the button and rolling forward early. So Comfort Me, clearly your leader, and then that likely leads Western Empire in the box eight.
Is Comfort Me any chance? He did run second in this race last year to Port Lockroy. He's got a win over Super Smink. He's been a very consistent horse for a long time.
Oh, he has. I don't think he can win.
Yeah.
No, conditions would need to be in his favour for him to get the job done. Like, if an Eastley was in play come Saturday afternoon, then maybe, but I just can't see him being able to kick and then holding off horses like Western Empire and Watch Me Rock, who are obviously going to map nice and handy from their low draws.
Yeah. I've sort of got the race down to three. There's three main bets that I've had. Two of those are at the top of betting. And Diamond Scene, I put it out as my best value selection yesterday, able to get $17 each way. I just thought that was overs. The market has reacted now. He was good first up. He won over 1,400 metres. They're obviously trying to keep a bit of freshness in his legs by, you know, 35 days between runs. Whether he's looking for further than 1,600 metres already, that could be a real possibility, but I'm hoping it's a strong run race. I do think he maps well enough from barrier three. And CJP Redemption Tour, let's hope he can give it a good steer, because he's probably better over further, but I just think he's a very good horse, and it wouldn't be the first time we've seen a said second stringer, not the top elect from the Bob Peters stable, win a race like this. Watch Me Rock is going to be my other bet. Back to him at $4.20. He maps superbly here. Pikey, well-weighted. I don't think he's a superstar. He has just been getting the job done narrowly in recent efforts, but look, he's going to look the winner at some stage. And Western Empire, he's got 58 kilos, but if there's ever a race, if there's ever a railway where you're going to carry that sort of weight and win this, it's probably this Saturday. So I think $7 isn't a bad price for him either. I'm very much balls deep here, Lockie.
Well, I think I'll pick up there in what you're saying with Western Empire. And if there was a top weight to win the race, I think this is the one. I put out a tweet on Sunday morning and I said, this is the number of horses that have been on the 53 kilo minimum in the railway the last 5 years. So this year it's only one, which is Storyville. In 2024, it was six. In 2023, it was 10. In 22, it was 10 again. And then in 21, 11 horses carried 53 kilos. So naturally, it's obviously going to skew the statistics in the favour of horses low in the weights. But this is completely different here. I think Western Empire is in really well at the weights with only 58 kilos. Essentially, it's at a weight for age scale when you compare him and a mare like Super Smink on the third or fourth on a betting. I really like him here. I think he'll run a hell of a race. This is the first time I've ever tipped a top weight in a railway, but I think it's $7 in the box seat. Yes, agree. Whether it's a good or bad thing, we'll only know come Saturday afternoon. But I just think if Billy Egan can get any type of luck at the 400-500-meter mark, $7 is a super price for Western Empire.
That's a fantastic point you bring up about Super Smink, 56 kilos, Western Empire, 58 kilos. It's just the normal weight for age allowance, that 2 kilo swing. And yeah, some punters have probably been a little bit harsh on Western Empire carrying the 58, but $7 is getting out to a very, very backable price, Nico.
Yeah, I completely agree. He's very well in with 58. Like, when you think about it, he's got panels on this lot, I think. Barrier one is better than probably barrier 12 or 13.
Yep.
He's gonna need a good steer from Billy, but you just got to back him in. I thought all along third up was going to be when we saw the best of this horse, but with the right run in transit, he could still definitely win this race, I think. I sort of agree with you boys and with Terry. I think it's between those two. You can pen nearly the rest of them.
Simple.
Well, if the race is run properly, like we think it's going to be, you can.
The only worry is that if they don't roll along and it's not run properly and they bunch at the 600-meter mark and they all just start to, you know what it's like. You've watched plenty of races at Ascot when they bunch on the turn and horses 3-4 deep with cover, roll along, get momentum. That's the query, and that's where we might get a result out wide.
Yeah, well, that's the best chance for a horse like Depth of Character and Ossipenko, because I can't see them being that forward from those barriers. But Western Empire, give him strength. Does he go northerly and then straight into the Gold Rush, Lockie, or not?
That was what.
It's a weird campaign for you guys, isn't it? Like it's.
I've never seen so many trainers in WA. You blokes go from 1,000 to 1,400 second up. It's just crazy.
It happens every year with these three big races, and it's just because they're the three big races at this time of year. Like you have no option really, and there's been horses that have run super races doing the three, so. Yeah, it's a great series of races over the next 4 weeks, so really looking forward to
he
it.
He won't have just sprint back... his legs to win the Gold Rush. You want a horse coming out of the winter.
He's a good horse.
I know he's a very good horse. He's one of my favourites, but I don't...
You're keen on him in the Northerly.
Oh, that's his race.
At Waif Reg.
I declared him last year third up for the Gold Rush, and I'm declaring him third up in the Northerly. He'll win the Northerly. Well,
speaking of the Northerly, Lockie, do we know, like, these three-year-olds, King of Light, Rockfest, namely, will they not make a decision whether they go until after Saturday?
Well, it's interesting.
Does he have to win to get in?
It depends on whether it will be a full field. So some years, I can recall a year where there were three or four three-year-olds, and it was awesome. Like, it's so good when there's more three-year-olds, but... there just seems like there's so many older horses that have really high ratings that potentially head in that direction. So whether they go to an Northerly or whether they bypass an Northerly and then come straight back to a Gold Rush, I'm not sure. But it could maybe be winning you're in for the three-year-old. So Pure Excess, the champion fillies winner of last week, she heads in that direction under the 50 kilos. So there's at least one going that way, and I suspect whoever wins the WA Guineas on Saturday will head in that direction as well.
Yeah, that's a mouth-watering contest. If you get Pure Excess, King of Light, Western Empire, yeah, all those other guys.
I actually hope that, you know, you get the three big gun boys heading in that direction. Like, whether he's a Phoenix runs 1,800, I'm not sure, but I'll probably just say the two.
Yeah,
the King of Light and Rockfest and Pure Excess. If they were the three-year-olds in the Northerly, God, it would be an awesome race.
Yep. And Talking Co's dropping back in trip, isn't it?
Yeah, Talking Co's actually gone to the paddock, and she'll be seen on your side of the country in the autumn. So you can look forward to that.
King of Light could just win on Saturday and then just go to the paddock. That'll be great.
Look after him now. He's a nice horse.
Yeah, they could do that, but come on, give the racing fans what they want.
No,
we'll quickly do.
What about depth of character? Like, I know it's 20, around fourth to Autumn Glow.
It's good.
I was so keen on this horse. Like, Western Empire, I've been keen on for 2 weeks, and I was so keen on depth of character once I actually like sat down and looked at his form. Like, as you said, Will, running in a Golden Eagle is outrageously good form for a railway. Port Lockroy was well back in a Golden Eagle last year, and then came out and won the railway the next start. So he has a very similar profile. He ran even better, but yeah, the draw just really hurts. If he drew a gate, I think he'd be awfully
It's a terrible...
What about Western Empire? Like, surely, like, I've got no idea about the form, like, or anything, but like, do you say box seat for Western Empire?
No.
Yep.
He can go forward. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll easily lob in the box seat, 100%.
Well, if he lobs there, he will win. Okay.
Nico, you got it. You got to back it. Be $7. You're declaring him for next start. All right, good.
I'm on.
Good. Yep. I'm just making sure. Just making sure, because I don't want tears from you at 8 p.m. this Saturday night because you haven't backed one of your favorite horses.
No, there won't be tears. Good. I just don't think you'll get into that position.
1200 meter rating, 66 plus race. Smooth Chino. We've done the group one to death, so we'll try and get this one done quickly. Smooth Chino, $2.80. Smooth Mover, $5. Scully, $9.50. Ah, yeah, Rido, $13. And Regal Statue, could be sprouting wings down the outside, is $14. Lockie, quick tip here.
Smooth Chino, best of the day. He's a star. I hope he doesn't line up in a Winterbottom 7 days later, but by my maths, the Winterbottom could be a field of like 10 or 12. So it's not impossible that he backs up, even though his rating is like incredibly low. He's very, very good. I think he'll win on Saturday.
You beauty.
What's Scully and he'll doing be, over there?
Don't know. Where do you map him to be, in front or nearer the speed?
Austin Gilardi is usually pretty conservative early. So I'd say a horse like Nobility leads drawn just outside of him. He allows that to go. Hopefully they can roll along enough that the splits come late. But I'd be surprised if he ended up in front. And Austin isn't exactly a known front-running jockey in the West. He's certainly a jockey that produces his best when he has a horse or two to follow.
Yep. And Nico, Smooth Chino or Smooth Mover?
Mover for me. I think the way that the track will be playing by the last and sort of the way this race might be run, I want to be with the sweeper. So it's got Heartbreak written all over it. It'll get back too far. It'll launch. It'll miss by half a length, no doubt. But yeah, you could easily just back one and save the other because nothing else has got a chance, I don't think.
Beautiful. All right, Lockie, you have the floor now. Any other bets earlier on in the card?
Oh, great question. Smoochino, the best, as I said. Western Empire, I'm keen on in the railway. I think $7 is a really big price. Let me just scroll through here. Two-year-old race, no. Stayers, no. Race 4 was a tricky one as well from memory.
Yeah.
Didn't mind Here for Checks at a price, but I'm really surprised that he's only $8.50. I honestly thought he'd be like $15, $20. That would be about it. Eccentric Nature would be hard to beat, but Angel on the Cover is actually getting out to a pretty big price now, $8.50. So just keep an eye on those few.
All right. And for sake of a podcast multi, I'm not sure if you've ever tuned into the podcast before, but these podcast multis, they don't win very often. You're going to make it race 10.
And why is that, Ben?
Yeah, well, but I'm sorry, mate, but we're kicking you off this week.
It's gotten to the point, Lockie, where Ben started taking his selection, bot selection, win and place, and he's been getting broke even quicker.
That's what the masses have said. They've said, bot, you've got a sack bot for 1 week.
1 week?
I don't want to partake in this. I'm not having this disrespect from you two.
Do you want to partake in the podcast multi or not?
Nah, fuck you.
It is factual evidence.
Good. We don't want you either.
I was going to take a 4-1 shot anyway.
So. Oh, yeah, of course. Hero.
All right, so race 10, number 2, Smoochino for Lockie.
Yep.
Nico?
I'm going to take King of Light.
King of Light is
race 8 number 1
at Ascot. You've taken the good things.
That's sort of what I do, mate.
I'm sure there'll be $1.50 shot at
tomorrow. Oh, here we go. There's a reason it starts $1.50, but
look, I don't think we're going to have Sharton prices out on Sunday yet, or else I would have gone like a My Wish or a Romantic Warrior. What do we think of Western Empire to place? Western Empire to place in the railway. Let's go Western Empire to place in the railway. So we'll make it a treble all in Perth. We've just got a couple of questions, Lockie. Are you happy to stick around for just another 5?
Yeah, of course.
We'll speed through.
When are you boys coming over? Have you guys been to Ascot before?
No,
I haven't. I've been to Perth, but I haven't been to Ascot.
Mate, it's such a nice track. If you can't get over in the next few weeks, obviously it's not much notice, but start planning a quokka trip. It's a good time of year, April.
Yeah.
Why do they call it the quokka?
Have you not seen
oh my God, Bob.
What a quokka is?
No, I know what a quokka is, but like it's an interesting name for a race, isn't it?
Well, I wasn't part of the decision-making process, but I think that's what works now.
I'll take that back.
There were a few people that were sceptical, but I actually quite like it now. It does work.
Well, I have been to, what's the island called again?
Rottnest
Island, where they all flock, and it's awesome.
Lots of people propose there, Ben, if you're interested.
Yeah, wow. Liv's an avid listener of this podcast, so...
You've stitched him up.
She'll absolutely love that. We were actually thinking of coming, like, not really. Like, I was checking out flights for Perth this weekend. We're going to have a little getaway to Gold Coast instead, but I just couldn't justify the difference in expenses, but I will come soon enough.
Yeah.
All right, a couple of questions. Some of these are aimed at us. Some of them are just random. Racing Nuff, Nico, fuck, marry, kill. CJP, Mickey D, or bot?
Just three life sentences, please.
Brad Cox, in a foot race between Nico and Kovalika over the mile, how much would Nico win by?
As far as you kick your hat.
I've seen you run and you wouldn't win any foot race. Chris DeCasta. when will we see the CJP redemption arc begin? Lockie, this might be one you can answer.
Oh.
The punters aren't happy over the East Coast.
No, clearly not. I don't know if it'll be Saturday. Yep. I don't know if it'll be Saturday. Might have to be a little bit more patient.
All right. Sure thing, WA. How did they open Cosmic Black Odds? How have I been roped in again? And how can he get beat?
We've seen that explain. Yeah, I'm not surprised he's the price he is. And if he gets beat, it's through a slowly run race if they don't push the button early.
Yeah. James Topping, if Mug Punter is eating chips and gravy out of a hat for 5% of the horse, have you seen this on Twitter? I'm not sure if you've seen it. What would you do for 1% of Carying Rising? Many things. Many, many things.
Meet Nico in the car park, probably.
Yeah, there you go.
Get a tattoo.
Scott Menard, what are your punting golden rules? That's a good one for you, Lockie.
Yeah, good question. I definitely don't bet as much as I used to, whether it be because of work, and I manage a couple of jockeys as well, so that makes things a little bit tricky. Golden rules. Tell you what, I actually don't know off the top of my head. Like, what would be your golden rules?
My golden rules would just be to own your own sort of tips.
I'd probably like keeping results. That's probably the main thing, isn't it? Yeah,
keeping results, owning your own stuff. Like, I know plenty of people who take tips off other people and they crack the shits when it gets beaten. I mean, like, you own your own bet, so make sure that you know you're responsible for it. But yeah, tracking them is a good thing as well.
Just back winners.
Yeah, simple pot, just back the winner. Boom Punting, does Grantham banish CJP to Yemen if he gets Cosmic Crusader rolled as an odds-on pop 3 times in a row? Oh.
Great question. I don't think so. They're actually quite good friends, Michael Grantham and Clint Johnson Porter, and CJP's the most, like, cruisy dude ever. He'll be frustrated for, like, a night, and then he'll get over things very, very quickly. He's a very casual customer.
And without getting too political here, will Grant and Alana ever train with Bob again?
No.
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 Absolutely not. No.
They're going better anyway.
No.
Yeah, they're going good, but like some of the stock that they used to get, and yeah, I miss the days. I miss the days a little bit. Nick McGuire fan page. Whatever happened to Don Corleone?
Who?
You know the horse Don Corleone bought?
It sounds familiar. Why don't I know it? Don?
He was probably more Sydney form. That's probably why you don't know. I'm not sure what happened to that horse. All right, a couple Instagram questions now. Got a bucks at Cranbourne this weekend. Need a moral. Get the fellas firing from two-time Milkins. Botter, what is your moral at Cranbourne?
Just lay bot tips.
No, I'm not giving you a tip. Cafetiera.
Cafetiera. It's about $6. Slade Hawkins, why is Beattie into Cosmic Crusader an absolute effing doozy? Who's Beattie?
That's a two-year-old.
Right, that's right. That's a dollar sixty thing.
Yeah, too short now. That will be hard to beat. I'd be more confident in taking $1.60 for it than $1.80 Cosmic Crusader. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. I haven't even looked at that race. Nathan Burkett, biggest what ifs in racing. If Think About It didn't go to the Queensland winter meeting, so that was sort of his one. Lockie, do you have a biggest what if?
Biggest what if? I think every horse that had an offer to be sold to Hong Kong and didn't.
Yeah.
I think about it all the time.
That's a good shout. Mine's probably incentivized.
Mine would be Sir Delius. What if
Observer in the Core for Guineas?
Fox Plate or Melbourne Cup, Sir Delius? Which one?
Well, both. He would have won both.
I don't think you can say he would have won the Melbourne Cup confidently, but Cox Plate,
he would have pissed him.
I reckon he would have won the Cox Plate. Anyway, let's move on. Freebag, how much do the RP followers need to donate to see Nico shave the top lip? Hashtag Movember.
A lot.
Put a figure on it.
I've never seen you without a mo.
Put a figure on it.
Because I've always had a sense of... 2 grand? I'd consider it for five.
5 grand. We're getting rid of Nico's.
Expensive mustache.
Two-time Milkins. Shout out to the Fox, by the way, for that. That was off his last comment. Josh Bell, thoughts on Catch the Glory in the Warra, please? We didn't really go through the Warra. Nico, any thoughts on the Warra?
No firm opinion from me.
Catch the Glory is definitely a chance. He's one of many. She is one of many. Zealously looks mighty short at $2.15. I will say that. So if you like it, have an edgeway spec. Stu Ferenchi, hello, Kaying Rising Tattoo. That's all. Love you. See you next year for 2026. Lockie, did you catch our mate getting the Kaying Rising Tattoo on Twitter?
I did. What was up with that? So that was, they were actually listeners of your show.
Yeah, he's a friend. I guess you could say that.
It wasn't even small.
I'll like, show you.
A big tattoo.
Nico's
got a little one as well. It's just the old KYR.
That looks like a home job.
It is a home job.
Yeah.
It was, sitting around the table after the Everest and drawing pictures on each other. It was sick stuff. Stu, where Stu lives in SA is the home of SA Schoolies. Pretty Devo. I just can't read that. Pretty Devo. Someone didn't come there. Damon Winley, three horses retired too soon. Animo, broadsiding and growing empire? Question mark.
Broadsiding, growing empire. I mean, yeah, they weren't that good.
Animo still had plenty of racing, so I don't think he was retired too soon.
The broadsiding hate is so disrespectful.
He wasn't that good.
Anyway, Bot's just saying that, but anyway.
Yeah. He would have belted Coops him forever.
Coops Irwin's got two. Another shoot shag marry. Brisbane Carnival, Adelaide Carnival, and Perth Carnival.
Marry Perth.
100% marry Perth.
Shoot Adelaide. Adelaide's the third for me. Like, I don't like Morpheville form. I don't mind Brisbane, but honestly, not just saying this because you're on the pod, but I do think Perth, I love my Perth racing and so does Nico. So,
what's it like your side of the country, like when the races finish at like 5:30 your time? What's the next like 3 hours like? Because you still have over half the cards still to play out in WA. Is it like fun? Like you had a bar, you had mates' houses?
Usually we congregate at the Ascot Vale Hotel. I'm not sure if you've been to the wonderful establishment. And we're sinking tins there and we are betting probably too much at Ascot. But no, we absolutely love it. It's an unreal vibe, to be honest.
Never enough.
Perth's just in the perfect time slot given the delay and we can all watch it sort of after dinner time and everyone's half cut, so it works out well. Coops Irwin, Bot, is Prodigy the best mare miler since Winx?
Yes.
That was pretty quick. You don't want to think about it?
No.
All right. Jeez. Love it.
Well, who's better than a Fangirl? No.
Don't know.
She's
Or Low?
Yeah, but you couldn't say that right now.
V Sustainer?
She's better than Over a Mile.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to go with that. And Tice Hunter is hedged a nonny. Lockie, just to tell you that Tice is an owner in Hedged. Horse hasn't been able to get the job done in recent times, but Tyson has also owned a little share in Mr. Brightside, so he's done all right for himself.
No complaints.
Is Hedged a nonny?
He's not the bravest horse.
Me?
Yeah.
He's done five races, hasn't he?
He doesn't believe in it. Nico? Yes or no?
Oh, yeah, I don't think he's very tough.
I'm going to say yes as well, just to rile Tyson up. If he wants to come for me on Twitter.
He's an absolute nonny. Well, never watched the horse race in my life.
He should have won first up and didn't go past.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh, I sort of agree. Anyway, we won't be getting an invite to the Crown Penthouse if he does get up.
You asked the question. I'm going to answer it honestly. I don't think he's that tough. But if he comes out and wins and he is tough and he sticks his neck out, I'll happily have egg on my face.
Ungenuine.
He's let's put it this way. He doesn't have a quarter of the tenacity that Mr. B has. No, but not many do.
I think we'd all agree with that. All right, let's wrap it up there. Lockie, any last words, mate? We appreciate you you coming on and giving us your time on what is a pretty busy week, Railway Stakes Week.
Railway Stakes Week, if you haven't been to WA, come across. It's a really fun weekend to have. Obviously, not just Railway Stakes, but any of the big carnival days. And if you are thinking of coming across, the Quokka is a really fun weekend. Well, footy's not far away. At that time of year, Joker's Grin, he just looks like he's getting better and better. Overpass, he'll be back for a Quokka. So if you are looking to come across, flick me a message. I'll have plenty of recommendations. It's plenty of fun.
Well, hopefully
keep tuning into WA Racing.
Hopefully Racing WA are listening and they can reach out. Little Junket, we'd be more than happy
stop
to come
it.
Across.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Beautiful. All right, appreciate it, Lockie. Thanks so much for coming on again.
Thank you, mate.
And good luck this weekend, punters. Hopefully we can get that podcast multi. Cheers.